Okay, good evening everybody, and we are in Chodesh Adar. Chodesh Adar is a time of simcha, of joy. It should be all a time of joy for us, for Klal Yisrael. So a lot of things going on in the world. Obviously, we need a lot of Siyata Shemayim, and Adar is a good time to be. Someone told me today, they sent me an article, I didn't read it yet, about the imminent attack of America on Iran. And I was like, if you have no idea, is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? You know, this told me the article talks about all these planes going there. I said, just posturing. But whatever you know and I know, it's all misinformation. Whatever Israeli intelligence is releasing, whatever American intelligence is releasing, they're not telling you or me or anyone what they're actually going to do. And I'm going to tell you something else. They don't know what they're actually going to do. They think they know. Maybe they think they know. It's all going to be decided, Klapi Shmaya. And what we do, obviously, you know, other than a time where Persia, Jewish people, Purim, there's a lot going on over here. But what we do impacts the entire world. And certainly, it's a Zman, it's a time of joy, and a lot of Zman of Chesed. We talked about last week, about Tzedaka, about Gemilas Chesedim. But Tzedaka in particular, charity saves from death. Charity brings a person bracha and shmira. Now we had been talking about loans, but charity, tzedaka, the power of charity to turn the tide for us. And there's a very, very long footnote here. I thought, should we do it? Should we not? And it's actually, albeit not all of it's relevant, it's very relevant. There's a lot of good points here, a lot of lessons to be learned. I don't think we're going to finish this footnote tonight. It's super long, but we'll try to get as far as possible. So, says the Chafetz Chaim, okay? The Chafetz Chaim wrote this work approximately 150 years ago. V'chadashim mikarv ba'u. There's been a new trend, a new fad. Shemayni ragle aniyim, melava lepischi balabatim. There's now shtetlach, towns, cities, that they don't let, the rule is you're not allowed to knock on the houses or the doors, okay? They don't let them worry about the people who are going to starve. Now, what's the reason, says the Chafetz Chaim? Well, they say that they have their own poor in their city. Yesh hezek le'el v'yod in the ear. It's going to hurt them. Hanu ba'al ba'atim ha'yordim. Shem be'echot la'azor sam al-ken ha'mayinim ra'gla ni'ligam. They don't let them go collecting this, but as you come to the Kupa, this central place, and this way their own city folk are protected, so to speak. Uve Emes, the Chafetz Chaim really doesn't like this, and we're going to see elaborate why, and he's going to explain how you didn't live and they don't live. Uve Emes has a Taz Gadol, right? It is a tremendous mistake because certain balabatim, certain working people lost their jobs and communities supported. Hutun, who says you can damage and hurt other poor people? Tinihi, she'en tzarech liten la'ani ha'machaza p'sachem matanim ruba. No, it's true. There's no obligation. If someone knocks on your door and says they're having the surgery, or they're marrying their kid, or they're losing their mortgage, you're not allowed to give them a lot of money. Okay? If you choose to, you can invest in this person, you can feel for this person, it speaks to you. But anyone who asks you under normal circumstances, you're obligated to give. Okay? Someone knocks on your door, you have to give them something if they're collecting for themselves. If they're collecting for an organization, if they're collecting for a friend, there's no obligation. Maybe the right thing to do. But if they're collecting for themselves, you're obligated to give them something. As the Gemara says, and in Shulchan Aruch Paschal Zeradea, Chas v'shalom, let lizgar adelas ba'ado legamre, to totally close the door on the person, v'lifsuk l'chayoso, and not to help him at all, to sustain him. See the Gemara of Basra, the Sura HaGemara, the Gemara says, the Asra lasus be'shar v'delas l'chatzar, hecha sh'ayedez l'yishma ko'anim hatzokim. You can't have like a front gate, the Gemara talks about, where if a niyam or poor people are trying to get to you, they need food or stock or charity to live, you won't be able to hear them. And today, they ring the bell, so, or they have cameras, but if there's no way or how, the main concern is not about your meal, get your packages getting to your house. Your main concern is that if a poor person is trying to reach you, they won't be able to get you. Okay? Remember, we come from Avram Avinu. You and I, we're all going back 30, oh my goodness, that's a long time ago. 3,700 plus years ago. 3,700 plus years, unbelievable. To Avram Avinu, open tent, right? House was always open. Even if it's only the people from outside the city, you can't block it where you can't hear their cries or their tears or their petitions. Now again, you don't have to give everyone $1,000. You know, it could be you give them $5. You have to give poor people. They come to your door, you have to give them something. For Kol Sheken, certainly if by you putting some outdoor gate, there's no way you can even hear that the poor of your city, almanas, for your seven widows and orphans. Who gives you a shus to close your heart and your ears to the poor? Vahaloi, we know when once upon a time, I know in Silicon Valley, you can't imagine it, that people were farmers. I don't know, the Yakov goes too far down to Napa, wherever, to Salinas. But 90-something% of Klal Yisrael was the world, it was agricultural. Okay? And there's all kinds of halachas of leket, chicha, peya, that Matzil Sha'asla Balabais, Lulka Bishwa Ani Echad. You can't go ahead and collect it for one poor person. Shibazeh Migarea L'Acher. You're going to cause others to lose out. Means you can't just say, I'll collect it for my friend Mishke, the pauper, the Ani, and 50 other Ani don't have a chance at it. You're not allowed to do that. You have to be concerned for the poor. V'achanam Kavasi. V'afilu, let's say, Ymir Tzlasa Tzakali Ten Gamani Oilem, Mikupa Shlehem Dever Muat, Gam Kain Eimen Hagam Oil Yafa. Now, because even if the city says, listen, we got to protect ourselves, we got to protect our poor, we're going to have a city-wide central place where the poor come from different places and we'll give them something. They're not knocking on doors. They're not coming to houses. Now, by the way, today, many cities like Chicago, for example, if you want to collect, you have to go to a central area. And they check you. They verify who you are. You know, you're saying that you get like a green sheet. The VOD checked you over, and you go collecting all the houses or shuls, whatever. But that's because you want to make sure the person's honest. But the proposal that certain places were doing that you could only come to this area, this office, this kupa, this organization, and they'll give the poor, the rich will donate, or the other people will donate into that. He's going to elaborate on this shortly. And they won't go knocking on doors, they won't go to the shoals, they won't, you know, ask in the streets. By the way, just keep in mind, those days there's no social welfare system. Basically, if you're poor, you could die on the street. There's no medical health system, there's no, you know, certainly no services offered. To anyone in the 1870s, if you didn't have the money, you were at the mercy of no one. I mean, no one helped you. No one was there. Now, the Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, in many places had tremendous social welfare systems, uniquely social welfare systems, where people were given all kinds of care and stock and charity for food, for medical care. But if you were a Gentile, or if you were in the wrong city, you had nothing. Actually, I wrote about last year about the Rav of Lodz, the Eli Chaim Aizel, and how he created all of this in Lodz. Lodz became at one point one of the largest cities in Poland it was an industrial center from Jews, and he built it up, and he built up all of the social welfare system because the Polish government didn't give it for the Poles, and they surely weren't giving it to the Jewish citizens. Okay. He says, you're going to go ahead and do this. Okay. Yish beit ha-masav harbe she'im ha-masav b'shal atzvo rak taf le'talia ba b'beisav adei siv nishal ma'at lazun ishavana o'shalim v'srav. Right? Because listen, there are people who are not, they have enough to feed themselves, but they have lots of little kids and they have children and they have a wife. And if they can't get around, their wife and kids will die. That's what literally could happen. You let them die. Now, you and I, you always read stories about the Holocaust. I certainly do. And I'm like, why did they do something? Like, you could have watched people suffer and totally ignore them. Right? You would say, Hitler's killing them, so they could starve in Ukraine, starve in Litva, starve in Hungary. Hungary had actually a better economy because Jews were allowed to be part of it to an extent, to a large extent, after Franz Josef. And in general, it was the Austrian-Hungarian Empire at this time was a lot stronger, more powerful than Poland or Russia were. Poland was actually part of Russia there, as was Lithuania and Ukraine at that time. And the poverty was not as great, but there were plenty of people. You could have watched people literally die to death. And totally ignored it. And there were lots of people who were struggling. Don't say that the poor of my city come first. That's every individual. Right? If you have only $100 and you have to give $100 to a needy person and you have a person in your city, first give it to them. But to say that the whole city, we are the city, will only give to our city, and to close the door to all other aniyim, is elo matzino, right? We don't find such a thing. It's a footnote which the sentence just put in. We got a kashat tedak de kativ tira shiroiv hamaskim asu la takana zu. The people who don't want poor people knocking on doors and coming around are only some of the very wealthy, and they can really give to the local people and to the outside people. The Bible calls it Hal Yadua Shetakanasa. This idea to make a kupachas gamani ha'ir, they don't let people in their own city to go around doors, and this really hurts. He's going to elaborate why this hurts. I think this is important because it gives us an impression of the power of what we do when we give tzedakah. It means when we prevent poor people from coming around, right? When you say you cannot come to the houses, you cannot go on the street, you can't go to the shuls. Now, personally, shuls, I just want to going through a whole halachic share on this, happens to be, of all places, I think the shuls is the most difficult and challenging. There are many shuls that make rules that they cannot collect during davening times. Okay, other shuls have, and there's reasons for that because it becomes a stir. Others hold no, we need the chesed. And who says our davening is so good? Perhaps help us. But almost all posts can hold that from Birchas Kriya Shema, from Yishtabach, till after Tach, really after Shemona Esrei, but maybe they should not be collecting certainly during Kriya Shema. No one should be collecting. For example, in Lakewood Yeshiva, there's no collecting. In the BMG, you're not allowed to collect during davening times and during learning times. You go to the halls, you can collect when people walk around, but not in the base measure itself. That is the rule in certain places, but that doesn't prevent poor people from going outside, coming non-davening times when davening's over. Certainly the houses there all over Lakewood, for example, are people are knocking on doors. But to block this completely is a big problem. I just, before we get to the details, the Chavetz Chaim elaborates, there's a famous mice, the famous Rebbe Levi Yitzchak ben Boroditchev. The Kedushas Levi was one of the great early Hasidic leaders, known for judging favorably. I actually discussed him at length on my history lecture on Hasidus and its opposition. So Levi Yitzchak, when he's older in life, he had so many people who wanted things from him, and he wanted to be able to learn and to help them, that he said, there's a vod of the city, making decisions. He said, just call me in only when needed. It means In most decisions that you're making, this committee, you don't need me for. We made it, there's a lot of precedent that happened before. You don't need to come in and micromanaging this thing. But if there's a, he's a draw over the city. But if there's a big decision, or something new, then call me in. And one time they called the Levi and said, we're making a new takana, a new ordinance for the town. And they tell Levi Yitzchak Mibuditchev that they're planning on doing exactly this. Exactly this. They're planning on not letting people knock on doors in the town, not the poor from the town, not the poor from out of town. There's going to be a central place where people will donate there, and the Niyim could go ahead and get money. So Levi Yitzchak listening to them describe, well, it will be, we'll check them, and people in the city can get this much, and people from not from the city get this much stucco, and we'll ask the rich people to give this, and they give this, and the regular people give this. And Levi Yitzchak looks at them and said, didn't I tell you that you should only call me in if there's a new question? This is not a new question. You're asking to put a place where the make a city where the poor can't knock on the door. This is not a new question at all. This question was already decided in stone. That was stone was. Right? They didn't let the poor go knocking on doors. They blocked people from doing things. This is an old question, and we know it's not okay. Right? He said, this is stone. You don't go ahead and block people from, you let people starve to death. Now, you can say it. There's a good thing to it, and the Chofetz Chaim is not going to bust that bubble. Okay, number one, reason number one. Here, I think it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 reasons why he really doesn't like this, and all of them are something to learn about Tzedakah itself. Number one, Ti'isa Be'avos, says in Pirkei Avos, Hakol Lefiroi V'Maisa, whatever you do in life, It's dependent on how often, how habitual, how it's done, the frequency of how it's done. V'zeh Lashon HaRambam, so the Rambam explains this mission of us. Shamaylus lo yagiu lo adam, if you roiv godo ha-maisa, if you want to acquire a good character trait, or a good habit, or a good midah, it's not that you did a great thing once. Right. Let's say. See, it's a Fagan's on the call. You want to learn Gemara. So one day you decide, I'm going to learn 10 hours of Gemara straight. You come to the shul, and you learn 10 hours of Gemara straight. Gavaldik, it's Meiridik, amazing. That won't compare if every day you learn for 30 days, a half hour every day, and the guy learns 10 hours one Sunday and never learns the rest of the month. This guy's learning 30 minutes a day. 30 minutes a day, consistency, doing day in, day out. Who do you think gets farther ahead? The guy learns 10 hours on Sunday. The guy's, I'm not talking exactly, obviously 30 half hours would be a little longer and on the whole, but that's not your point. It's that you're getting, every day, you're putting part of your life to learn Torah. You learn a half hour a day. You make kviyas itim Torah. You're going to do it. So for your ma'isim, v'ol shamalas amegiyo b'chipo ha'ma'isim, the more you do it. More either. I remember I used to tell people they want to keep their, you know, for a person who never kept Shabbos before, to keep Shabbos and then eventually come Shomer Shabbos. Shabbos, you know, keeping Shabbos. I said, do it 3 times. You're doing it once, not enough. You want to start becoming Shabbos. If you can do it 3 straight times, you're well on your way. Well on your way. So it comes from Pam Rabbis, Kizel Levadalo, Gilo, Kinin Chazak. Do it one time, it's not going to become an acquisition. The metaphor for this, you give a person an outrageous sum, 1,000 gold coins, 1,000 gold dinars, and another person, gives nothing, right? So you give one person a huge check, and other individuals or organizations give nada, FS. Boom, nothing, right? Now, you may have had impact for that one person organization, but you're not becoming a giver because you're giving the most places to give nothing to. From that one time, it compared to a person who takes 1,000 gold coins, and you give it 1,000 times, 1,000 a coin here, a coin here, a coin here. right? That person becomes a generous person. You're giving over and over. You're writing 1,000 checks. Person wants one huge check versus 1,000 checks. The person who gives often is going to be have a larger acquisition. I'm being generous. But because the person does it once could lose it. V'chem haTorah ein tzchar mi shepada asr mimei adinarim o she'asa tzedakah le'ani mimei adinarim to die machzaro, right? K'mo she'asara sur, we do it 10 times. By the way, now let me just say one thing. This is the result. That's the whole problem. Now, if you want to make an impact, there are times where you give them big donations. That you know that there is an organization that you believe it's going to impact the Jewish people, or you believe in the people running it, or you see it, right? Okay, you want to build an Erev in San Jose, you want to have a chinuch, you want to have a yeshiva, whatever, a kollel, you want to do something for the show. So you give a large donation because you want the impact. There's no question that there's certain things that take a lot of money, and the only way they happen is with a lot of money. So that's an amazing thing, and that sometimes you should do that over a given multiple times. However, getting that's as far as accomplishing an impact, but becoming a generous person, that's dependent on how often you do something. So it should be doing both. Just give less money often, you should be constantly giving. I'll tell you, I think I share this very simple on a small level. Give a quarter or a dollar every time before you daven, every day. You're giving stucco right there. For shachras, before mincha, before mayr. Just get accustomed, get adjusted to doing that. And every day you're used to giving at least 2-3 times a day, you become a giver. And you want to give more to whatever, something that speaks to you, or to multiple places, because you feel these are great organizations, or there's a person, their life situation or their situation speaks to you. So then, of course, you should give them more. But to acquire a generous soul, it depends on quantity, how often you are giving. Hayayitzim yidvararav, since the Chavetz Chaim comes out of this, is shamaylas nimnu l'adam l'firibah ma'isav. Just like if you smile once at a person, it's definitely smile every day. Right, we know that chitzainis is megarim pnimis. They do externally a lot will affect the internal. You smile, become happy, smile. That becomes part of who you are. That becomes you over time. You kind of chisel. You move over and over and over. Shamalas acquired according to the amount you do it. The ata next one, according to this, look at the halos impact here. Shiko echad, right? Well, you'll be taxed. Everyone have a tzedakah tax. Once you all, you'll pay a tax. Everyone will pay this tax. And it'll be a week, you know, he's saying it's a monthly tax. And you'll give that one tzedakah check a week according to your assessment. And that's it. Kama v'kama, Allah v'pulas tovish shishkoa mitzvahs asteraisa. Nigamayar, how many thousands of mitzvahs teraisas of tzedakah will be lost? Because the organization will give out once. Now let me just share something, because it gets a little bit. There is a place for organizational giving, for tzedakah giving, because if you want to give to the poor of Israel, you don't have the ability to vet. You're not there. You have no idea who you're giving to. So there is a value of Kupatir, of Adar Rabbanim, or Yad Eliezer. All these organizations are fine. But if that's the only place you could give, and you only give it once a week or once a year, you're causing a tremendous loss of giving, right? You just won't be giving. You'll be losing that opportunity to give. He'll have other reasons which we'll elaborate upon. Everyone who knocked on his door, give him a pruta. Pruta's not a lot of money, but everyone, shalom aleichem, here's a pruta. You smile. Now you don't have that at all. You give one check a week and you're done. You're actually losing lots of actions of mitzvahs. Lots of actions of mitzvahs, which will judge you favorably on Yom Hadin, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. If this reason alone, that you're going to be stealing from people's opportunities to give, because they leave once a week a check and they're going to think they're done, and that is enough of a reason, says the Chavetz Chaim, not to have this kind of central thing where you're assessed, and that's all you give. Now again, If you're in a place where they have that plus, there's nothing wrong with it. On the contrary, you know, there could be a value, but if that's all you're at stock of giving, it's a big loss. You're not going to become a generous person. You're not going to become giving. You're going to lose all of those potential reasons. That's number one. Number two, gam etzem hatzdaka, even the amount of tzedaka, nismait al yedei zeh harbinir. I mean, if you do this as a Chavetz Chaim, there's going to be much less charity given the city. Why? Kisha ani hoylich ba'atzmai. Pam yitin l'bal ba'as etzad a mitzvah. Sometimes people give it to the, it's a mitzvah of tzedakah, or they want the bracha, or the schus. I remember somebody on my staff. So we had this campaign three or four weeks ago, I don't remember how long it was already, to raise for the other campaign. So she told me, she called somebody, and this lady told her, listen, my kids don't go to your school, and so I'm not giving. Fine. And she knew this lady, someone she knew. And she said about a minute later, lady calls her up. Actually, I want to give $180. She says, I realize I need a schus. And you just call me. I want this schus. I need a merit. Whoever she needed this merit for, her kid was going on a date. Maybe someone's having a surgery. Whatever it was, she wanted a merit. She wanted a schus. So people sometimes knock on your door. You give them because of the mitzvah. Sometimes you want a schus. You're a sick in your family. Someone's dating. So you have a business deal, whatever it may be, you want to discuss, that's the reason you give him. Sometimes it's because of chemla. Not because of the mitzvah, you're looking at this, he or she is such a nebuch. And they look like your cousin. They look like a bubby. Or they're unkempt, and you see their shoes have holes in it. And you just, your heart goes out. And you give him for that reason. Pami tin lo'oichal. Sometimes the guy knocks on your door, they're starving, they've been traveling, they haven't eaten, you give him a bowl of soup, a coffee, or something to drink, or you see the person's walking outside, they don't have a coat. And they're freezing. I remember last year, my wife asked me if I could give a coat. She saw an Israeli collector in Chicago freezing, and he's outside collecting no coat. You know, either he couldn't afford it, or didn't realize Chicago can get, below zero. Can't walk outside like that. That's dangerous. And he's walking around, thinking he's B'nai Brak. No. This is not B'nai Brak over here. The weather's a lot colder. You need a coat. Lenses, whatever. But you see a person who needs clothes. You're going to give him clothes if you see he needs the clothes on themselves. Sometimes the owner gives it, sometimes his children give it, sometimes the wife gives it. When you give a set amount, is a third or quarter. Because you'll give it, you're only giving it for the mitzvah. You know I have to get a mitzvah. I remember something actually a good thing in Chicago. I remember, my first year here, 66 years ago, Mom, she can't even imagine running a school of 1,600, then it was less, not 1,600 kids, but 1,400, whatever it was, that under COVID, it was so crazy. But what was remarkably interesting is that in Chicago, this place, where I said, of course, people were knocking on doors, they go to the shuls, they go on the streets, wherever they go, they have a green paper, or scum that we checked to over to the, so, during COVID, Israel, you couldn't get in and out of Israel. I remember people remember, we have like amnesia, what goes on. I mean, Israel was on lockdown. There was no going to Israel for months. And then once you started opening up again, you had to be only vaccinated. People were allowed into the country. But in general, travel during COVID was very, very challenging. So what do you do if you're a poor person in Israel during COVID? You couldn't come to America. Right? You're either married for kids, you couldn't get medical bills, and you couldn't just pay your bills. So they actually had this, the kubis, that's the father's staka, collected, and they did exactly that. So in that case, it's a wonderful thing, because the people from Israel, whoever would have been coming, or they're yearly, they can't come, so it would allow it to help them out. But in a normal situation, it's actually, you'll get a lot less money, because it's not just for the mitzvah. People give for all kinds of reasons, and they give all kinds of things. And sometimes there's an individual who just speaks to you. And people give their own, you know, people who suffer from mental health issues will be more likely to give a mental health. People who believe, who are Bali Tshuva, are more likely to give in Kiruv. People who lived in Kailal are more likely to give in Kailal. You know, and when people knock on certain doors, they speak, you know, this person's collecting for Sikira's sickness, and unfortunately this person, the homeowner has his own kid has sickness, and it resonates. Human beings, different things resonate. Seeing people in certain ways resonate. And beyond giving more, you feel more for the people. Your tzedakah is a different type of tzedakah. V'toyva l'nasib as a ba'abayis, k'dil shein adam ani min tzedakah, right? And you're not helping anyone because nobody becomes poor from giving charity unless you break the rules. K'di'isa meshleh, as the Medrash says in Meshleh, Amar Riyabal, imar ayisa adam fazer ma'osav tzedakah, you see a person invest, spread their wealth in tzedakah. Have the idea shumaisiv, he's gonna he'll get more. Shinamar Yesh with father. First of all, the person gives and gave him more. He had tzedakah next to the zriya. Tzedakah is like planting. You're planting. Kriksiv ziru lechem tzedakah. I know so many people who are big bali tzedakah and they get wealthier and wealthier. They get outrageous amounts of tzedakah. Outrageous. You give more, you're going to get more. The more you plant, the more you harvest. You'll get more tzedakah to give. Hashem will give you more. If you believe, but if you close the door, yeah, literally, you don't think the people are collecting, you're missing out. Right? You're going to give less and get less. Of course you're going to give less. Right? You don't, it's not... You don't feel it. You don't see it. You're only giving in one way and for one reason. That's number two. Number three, behanhagas nasik giroyin gadla ba'abaitim apchusim ba'madam kisha'ona ohelech ba'atzmo kol echa neis lo prushes lecha lefi asayos yado mekayim ayedeze mitzis taka b'chayom. When people go like, people give them bread, even give them food, the poor, and you get a mitzvah every day. Masha'inkin, if you take an asam, according to this takana, where you don't let poor people knock on any of the doors. You just give them a set amount. You can even come to this place once you get a car. Like it was like a social security check, a welfare check. That's what it really was. Before FDR, it was President's Day this week, right? But not the only, you know, it was Honest Abe and George Washington. No FDR, but it was President's Day. Right, so before the Great Depression and all those social welfare systems, hey, that's what it was. You didn't were giving. Oh, you get a weekly check of this. That you're gonna lose out. Yechsim, it's a stock up. Many of you won't end up getting stock up. They don't pay their taxes. They don't get up to do their assessment. You have all kinds of people losing the gaval, the commits of stock up and all of its brachas, all of its blessings. V'ayin. And see, your idea, Simon Shin Lamedalin, that Shimu'oi Gadol Oven, right? You people who stop people from getting stuck up is a terrible avera. You convince people out of giving stuck up is a terrible, terrible avera. That's number three. Number four, says the Chavetz Chaim, and we'll hold on number four. We'll do four very reasons. Muchach b'ksubas. Gemara says, but wait. I think the reason why I like this, why I wouldn't want to skip this footnote, is because it reminds you, we get the knocks on the door. And every time, it's schos. Now, again, I happen to be, some people like to give a lot of people to come to the door. I'm not that type of person because I can't, I'm more of a thought out person. So I'll say, give, whatever. Also, I try to give a lot, but I'm not, a billionaire or a millionaire. But, well, I have, I take very seriously. And so and there are certain organizations or people that I want to give specifically to. So that's usually where I give my bigger money. But every time someone knocks on your door, it means Hashem is sending them. It's chus for you. It's a merit. If someone taps you in the shoulder or in the street, or you're going to Israel and someone asks you, you have to have the right perspective. And what's kind of saying, if there are people who want to give tzedakah and absolve themselves out of any human interaction with it, that is not a good idea. That's a terrible loss. And obviously to impose that on a community,
is, as we just say, they're stealing their mitzvahs, they're stealing their life, stealing their bracha, creating a stone at some level. Mukhu b'ksubas, b'mais the marukva, the gemara ksubas daf samach zayin, the story about marukva. Shemitzu yosu l'chalak mazal aniyim, melechak l'mam, ma'os. It says, marukva says it's better to give them bread and food, than to, these are people who are hungry, than to give them just gelt. Why? When you give the food, they're hungry. They better right away. Okay? Masha Inc. is like they're the soup kitchen. They didn't have food. It's not like in the old days you went to store, you'd be able to prepare their food. It took a lot of time to prepare food. You had to have money for the prepared food. You had to have storage. It wasn't easy. Here they gave them the food itself. It's worth more than just a dollar bill. Masha Inc. and we give them just money. They have to go acquire it, purchase it, make it. He says, of course, just this is just sometimes it's the opposite. That the ani needs the money because he has to pay other bills, not just about food, right? He has to pay for his electricity, whatever it may be. Right? Well, if you can't come to your door. Again, this is less relevant today. You're not having food at all. I multiple times have had people knock on my door and write them in because they actually ate dinner or got to get a drink. I'll tell you, actually, if you knock on the door, sometimes they look a little uncomfortable. I said, do you need the bathroom? And very fast, very often, they take me up. These guys are going around house to house. They made it a bathroom. Right? Whatever it is, the chesed. Hagam. The Balabat, he's of course, if you have local people in your city who are at loss, it's good to have a fund for them and to give them a thing. But Khalila, but because you want to have some kind of fund to block poor people from coming on doors, knocking on doors, being able to get a meal, sometimes they need a place to sleep. Okay, again, if there are unscrupulous people, a person should be careful. But most people are going on collecting. It's because they're legitimately needy and legitimately in pain. And the Chafetz Chaim says, trying to block them, whether it's like the Gemara Baba Basra says, the gate you can't hear them, or making some kind of organization where there's no human interaction, which will end up giving less money, end up giving less times, end up giving not the full extent you could, that's a tremendous loss. Then we've been learning the power of tzedakah. And here, ostensibly, it could be a good idea, it could be a really bad idea. And I think we're just learning all of the different pluses, milas, of having an open door system for Klal Yisrael. And as I said not too long ago, 25 minutes ago, we go back 3,700 years to Avram. Our DNA is to have an open door to help other people. Again, we're limited. Everyone has limits. It's not like you give everything to everybody. And a person should look at money as an investment. But we want to be givers, just like Hashem wants Hashem to give. Right? We want to be givers. And the only way we can be givers is having these kinds of opportunities. Okay, we're going to hold here, and we will.